Welcome to The GAC Files, a podcast about the people, issues and ideas driving Global Affairs Canada.
Bienvenue au dossier d'AMC, un balado sur les gens, les enjeux et les idées qui animent Affaires mondiales Canada.
And now, introducing your host, Global Affairs Canada's Deputy Minister of International Trade, John Hannaford.
Voici votre animateur, John Hannaford, sous-ministre du Commerce international d'Affaires mondiales Canada.
Excellent. OK. Bonjour à tous. C'est un plaisir d'avoir l'occasion d'avoir une autre conversation en ce qui concerne notre ministère et les enjeux qui sont importants pour nous comme communauté. I'm really happy today to have an opportunity to talk a little bit about some of the work that we have been doing in planning for an eventual partial return to the workplace. It's not a return to work because obviously work has been going on at a sort of feverish pitch since the onset of COVID-19. But the department has been doing some work in anticipation of an eventual partial return. And this is a chance for us to hear from some of the people who are the most directly implicated in that. I'm very happy to have Bruce Murdoch, Luc Raymond, and Charlene Janvier join me today to share their perspectives. Bruce is the Director of Corporate Security in our Emergency Management Branch. Luc is Director of Domestic Accommodations in the Corporate Branch. And Charlene is the Director or Acting Director of Corporate Health Programs in our HR Branch. Alors, bienvenue à tous. Vraiment, c'est un plaisir d'avoir l'occasion de vous voir, en fait, parce que nous sommes en WebEx maintenant. Ça, c'est un peu différent pour moi. Comme hôte de ces événements. Bruce, I'll start with you. You know, there's planning, as I say, going on in anticipation of a signal to at least begin a partial return to the workplace. But maybe give us a little bit of a sense as to, you know, what timing looks like and how you see this kind of unfolding from your perspective in emergency management.
Well, thank you very much, Deputy. At this point, we really do not have an anticipated date for the return to the workplace. So it's sort of odd that we're planning something that we don't know the date of at this point. During the last almost three months, we've only had about 250 people working in our buildings in across Canada and a few in our missions abroad, as you know. And we've shown really that working digital by default, as people call it, largely works. We will not know about our return to the workplace really until we get direction from our health and safety partners from Health Canada or PHAC or OCRO or even PSPC, which is providing guidance, I know, to Luc, for example, on buildings and building management. So once we get that guidance, we'll be in a better position to know when people come back to the workplace. So really the guidance is going to come from them, and any work that we're doing is based really on what they will say. Right now, we're at the planning stage. We call it step zero because the only people we've had in our buildings are people who have kept our buildings functional for almost the last 3 months. And during that time, I've chaired the All-Hazard Response and Recovery Committee, and it's been a cross-section of functional responsibilities across the department to make sure we can do the planning and implement the measures that'll have allowed people to work remotely and working from home in their living rooms and kitchens and basements and things like that. And it's worked very, very well. I think we've shown that we can work at home, but when the call is to say to come back to the workplace, it'll be done gradually and it'll be phased. And it won't be all at once, certainly. In the sense that we do it, the driver will be health and safety of our employees. Above all, we're doing a lot of work collectively just to ensure that certain measures be put in place so when people come back to work, not only they feel safe, but they are safe. It'll be transformative. It'll be significant. We've had some people, for example, come into 125 Sussex the last couple months after not being there, and they've been shocked to the measures they've seen have been put in place since their departure in mid-March. So the key what we're doing is ensuring the principles we have domestically are applied internationally at our missions abroad. And the first is health and safety is the first principle we're really basing everything on. And trust that we're all doing this together and we'll be flexible. We all acknowledge we've never been through this before. Nobody has. So we're being innovative and we have to be flexible. These are things that we're learning and sometimes learning on the fly. And we're making changes on the fly too, just to make sure things work. So I guess to say really to conclude here at this point is it's the collaboration part, just like you've said and your deputy colleagues have said, we're all in this together. And we just want to be in the position that when the call is made, that employees can come back to the workplace. We've done everything we can to make sure their safety and security.
Right, and also to avoid any surprises. That's why we're going through this exercise right now, is to be kind of methodical as we approach this set of issues.
100%. We are mapping things out, and we're doing, you know, we're doing a lot of work in the sense of consultations as much as we can across the department to get people's views, employees and managers and our labor colleague allies, our departmental champions, our branch coordinators, as much as we can to get people's views on how this can work and how this can work well. We want people's input. This is certainly not a top-down exercise in that sense, that a lot of people are feeding in, and certainly getting, we're looking at best practices as well from other government departments, from other levels of government, how the private sector is doing it. There's a lot of work in that sense that we're doing to ensure we're doing our utmost. And I know we'll get into it a little bit later, perhaps, but all the measures we're putting in place. But I'm confident that, you know, we're doing the utmost that we can to make sure people are safe and secure when they get back to work.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Bruce. Luc, vous êtes responsable de la planification en ce qui concerne le lieu de travail. Quels sont les plans qui sont prévisibles pour notre environnement de travail? Quels sont les détails on peut attendre?
Merci et bonjour. Il y a tellement de nouveaux facteurs d'influence présentement dans l'équation que même malgré le fait que le secteur privé, le secteur public travaillent très fort à essayer de définir c'est quoi nos nouvelles réalités dans le milieu de travail, il y a pas une image claire qui ressort encore. Par contre, le dénominateur commun à tout ça, c'est vraiment la santé, la sécurité doit passer en premier pour les employés et pour tous ceux qui sont dans le milieu de travail, que ce soit ceux qui travaillent dans l'édifice au nettoyage, comme tous nos employés, tout le monde est concerné par ça. It's obvious that distancing will have a significant impact on our density or occupancy, open workstation, circulation pinch point, common and service areas, access to the building and elevator. We're looking at installing a lot more touchless features where we can to prevent transmission. Finishes that will also be easier to clean. Virus transmission will also influence prevention of virus transmission, will also be present in our workspace, hand washing station, PPE stations, new workplace cleaning protocol for employees using space, enhanced building cleaning. Right now, we're piloting a couple of new technology, UVs for elevator, clearing up the mail, parcel, even commissioners' clothing as they come in and out of the building. So, and also localized air filtering systems are being piloted. Buildings will have increased fresh air and increased ventilation. And I think the best tool to fight the virus will be the workplace etiquette that our colleagues in HR are developing. We need to rigorously follow that. Another impact is the flexible and mobile workforce, significant increase in teleworking, usage of laptops and new peripheral. Paperless environment, I think we made a giant step in that direction. We need to better accommodate our teleworkers at home also, especially those that may remain there for a long period. In our existing workplace, we need to create some teleworker hubs. We also need to implement more virtual tools for desktop and meeting rooms, so to help facilitate that communications. There's also lots of indirect impact that we'll have to manage. I mean, just managing the parking will be different. People will not be coming all at the same time. We might have schedules, shared parking, cafeteria and food court. And I've noticed in my area, and I'm sure it's like that everywhere in my neighborhood, a lot more people walking, cycling, exercising outdoors. So I think that will be the same trend in the workplace. So gym and exercise area, through the 125 retrofit project, we're considering two new exterior exercise area and a new revamped gym, shower and change facilities, because maybe people will be more confident running or biking to work. So new indoor bicycle parking facilities, showers and change room by Christmas at 125 Sussex. I think all those peripheral aspects will also play a role that we need to assess ahead of time and include in our equation, not only focus on the small workstation that's going to change, but a holistic approach to the workspace.
Great. Thanks very much, Luc. Peut-être qu'il y a clairement il y a un aspect de santé mentale en ce qui concerne ce type de changement. Et Charline, quelles sont les stratégies qui sont disponibles pour les gens pour traiter ce type d'anxiété qui est associé avec ce type de changement?
Oui, absolument. C'est une très bonne question. Je suis contente, Monsieur Nefford, que vous posez cette question-ci parce que notre réticence à retourner dans les bureaux n'est pas surprenante. Il ne faut pas oublier qu'il y a des gens qui peuvent se sentir très stressés et l'anxiété à propos du retour physique au bureau. I have to say that these questions that employees have are such as, is the employee safe to return to work? Does my department have the right proper tools and equipment and protocols to keep me safe? Or even could a return to work affect my loved ones? Now, these are all legitimate questions that one could have themselves in the midst of a physical return to work. And I have to say that these are the questions that are guiding our response to the physical return to work plan. And our approach right now comes down to three main points. Relying on the expert as a first start, we are ensuring that our workplace comply with the federal and provincial health requirements and guidelines, including those of PHAC and TBS. For now, we believe that the remote work, the telework arrangement, and the reliance on collaborative tools are great to continue with regards to Microsoft Teams and GC collaboration. The second part is that we're also asking everybody to be patient and to be really well understanding as the new workspace are going to be configured to respect social distancing and where hand sanitizer will become more available. Employees will be asked to respect these protocols so that we all remain safe in the workplace. And the third but not least comes down to the communication piece. Communicate. We believe in HR that employees should definitely receive updated information, be involved with the etiquette so that they feel supported. This also requires the recognition that the psychological impact of returning to work to a new normal is as important as addressing the logistical issues. So it's okay to feel anxious, it's okay to feel stressed, and to also remind employees that there are great resources out there to help support them as well, such as our great employee assistance program that are available at any time. And there are many tools out there and guiding tools and resources on the Mental Health Commission of Canada's website to support employees through this transition back to the office. So that would be my initial thought on that subject for sure.
Thanks a lot, Shirley. Et quels sont les ajustements qui sont disponibles pour les gens qui sont plus haut risque dans ces situations? Est-ce qu'il y a les accommodations qui sont disponibles pour ce type d'employé?
Oui, absolument. Je dirais qu'en premier lieu, avant de mettre en œuvre de manière proactive toutes sortes de mesures de protection spécifiques à un employé à haut de risque particulier, nous devons d'abord déterminer l'incapacité ou les restrictions importantes pourraient peut-être poser un impact direct sur la santé d'un employé en milieu de travail. Une fois qu'on détermine l'impact ou la menace ou l'impactabilité de l'employé, ça revient à l'employeur de déterminer les mesures d'adaptation raisonnables. Donc là, ça conduit à la question, quel type d'ajustement pourrait être considéré comme mesure d'adaptation raisonnable? Il y a plusieurs exemples, dont fournir des équipements de protection individuelle supplémentaires ou améliorés. On pourrait aussi élaborer des mesures d'augmenter la distance entre les bureaux des employés et de ses collègues, repositionner le poste de travail à l'écart des postes de travail des autres, et aussi faire des modifications au niveau des horaires de travail, de manière à ce que l'employé à plus haut risque pourrait travailler en dehors des heures de pointe et aussi, très important, de peut-être aussi maintenir les modalités de travail en cours. Donc, toutes nos lignes directrices et politiques de mesures d'accommodement, de retour au travail sur la composante de gestion des capacités demeurent les mêmes. Et aussi, à rappeler deux points, c'est de protéger aussi la protection des informations, protéger les employés qui sont extrêmement importantes dans le contexte des renseignements médicaux et aussi faire en sorte qu'on maintient les liens avec nos comités de santé et sécurité et aussi nos consultations avec nos agents négociateurs et les syndicats. Parce que ce sont nos alliés et il faut aussi travailler de pair avec eux pour soutenir le retour des employés.
Bruce, maybe come back to you. What are the arrangements that we're considering for the missions and, you know, particularly issues around testing, which may be variable in some of the situations in which our missions find themselves? Just wanted to get a sense as to what the plans are looking like in with respect to those sorts of situations.
Yeah, thank you, Deputy. I know that our health and safety colleagues will want to weigh in this as well, but any provision of health matters, I know they'll want to take leadership on that. And we'll provide the utmost, whatever is required, the guidance that's provided from our Health Canada colleagues. I know Charlene and her colleagues are in touch with Health Canada and PHAC and OCRO on those discussions. And I know they're well positioned to speak to that. Should there be a requirement to provide any such things like that or testing or temperature taking, I know they will follow that direction and certainly from our perspective, we'll do our utmost, obviously, to provide that to our missions abroad to ensure that those measures can be put in place. We have to see what that call is, of course, and what those decisions are. And I guess as soon as those health partners indicate that, I know our health and safety colleagues will want to act on that, and we certainly will do our utmost to support that. And support all our colleagues at Missions Abroad in that regard.
Good. All right. Well, look, I think we've sort of covered a fair bit of ground here. There's obviously been an awful lot of planning that's started, and we've got more work to be done, clearly. But, you know, I think the key messages are that this will be a methodical, health-based series of steps, and frankly, you know, we're going to be in a period where some people will be working from home, some people will be working from the office, probably for quite a period of time now, and that's just going to be part of our new reality. And we've seen that works. I think we've one of our collective experiences over the last period of time has been seeing the department be highly functional in a situation where we're working from our bedrooms and basements, and that's that's okay as long as we can continue to produce, then that's obviously that's a critical piece, and we do it in a way that's mindful of the pressures that people are under. Any sort of, I'm kind of interested from just the three of you as individuals, or how are you feeling about the possible return to the office, and does it make you nervous? Or are you kind of feeling that this is something that you're anxious to have happen, or what's your personal reaction to this? Let me start with you, Shirley.
Yes, so thank you for this question, Deputy. I'm of the view that I'm pretty engaged. I do miss going back to work and being with my colleagues and having this social interaction. I do miss that. There's a difference between communicating and engaging with electronics, but there's something to be said about having coffee with your colleague and having lunch and all that. So I do miss that component. But I have to say, going back to this holistic approach of returning to work, I do believe that we are a resilient workforce, and I do believe that this transition will make us more successful in the immediate future and definitely thrive in the long term. So that's what I would have to say. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, Debbie.
Thanks, Charlene. Bruce, how are you feeling? What's your anticipation?
Well, Deputy, I was never one actually who liked working home. I always liked to be in the office, to be with my colleagues, and you know, that's the type of person I am. I really enjoy going to work every day, and I never thought working at home would do it for me. But what I think I've learned over this time, the last almost 3 months, is it does work. I can work at home. Having said that, two of my five units are at work every day, so I do see them actually once every 2 weeks. I've been going into the office. And what has surprised me is the changes that actually we've implemented over that time, that I've had a chance to direct them to get it done, and they have been done. And it's been transformative, I guess, in that sense, every time I've gone in the building. Having said that, the Security Emergency Measures Bureau has been in the building lots for the Emergency Watch and Response Center for the last almost 3 months. And what it's shown to me is the measures that we collectively, you know, the whole group of us have put together to make that work, does make it work. So people have worked there safely and in significant numbers in that regard within the EWRC. And we put a lot of things, you know, everything that Luke and Charlene have talked about, you know, the physical distancing and all the health and safety measures and plexiglass and all this type of stuff to ensure it can be done safely. So I guess my sense is I don't have trepidation because I've seen it and I've seen it work in the last 3 months. And I think it's the broader based application that we'll be doing department wide in Canada and also admissions around the world that hopefully will give comfort to people that it has worked in the last 3 months for a certain amount of people and we can make it work. So, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I've got three kids at home that are bored, and, you know, but we'll see how this works. I think collectively we can make it work.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Et Luc, vos réflexions dans ce contexte?
Oui, ça a été quelque chose qui nous a pris par surprise. Puis on n'a pas venu à bout de se préparer, si vous voulez, à partir avec tous les outils qu'on avait besoin pour travailler de manière efficace. Ça a été un petit peu plus difficile pour partir à ce niveau-là pour plusieurs membres de mon équipe. L'équipe que je gère présentement s'occupe du projet de rénovation du 125 Sussex et de plusieurs autres projets de rénovation qu'on a. Puis malgré tout le COVID, on a perdu une journée seulement avec le 125 Sussex. Ça fait qu'il n'y a pas eu de changement à ce niveau-là. Le travail a continué, les consultations, le design a continué. Puis en plus de ça, on avait à jongler avec le ARC et aussi avec tous les choses qu'on a faites pour la réintégration qui était comme 24/7 pour plusieurs semaines en ligne. Puis malgré toutes ces choses-là, le télétravail a très bien fonctionné. L'équipe est restée unie. On a des rencontres grâce à tous les outils qu'on a mis à notre disposition qui sont très efficaces. Où ça va être un peu plus difficile peut-être de naviguer, c'est lorsqu'on doit faire des consultations avec des groupes d'employés. Fait qu'on est en train de développer des outils pour faire ça aussi à distance. Mais je dois dire que je me suis très bien adapté au télétravail. À quelques mois de la retraite, je pense que ça va me suffire pour la fin de ma carrière. Puis, je pense que ça a apporté aussi beaucoup de bénéfices en général, peut-être malgré la charge de travail qui était énorme, à obtenir une balance entre la vie et le travail qui est un petit peu mieux équilibrée. En sauvant ton temps de voyage, en étant à la maison, en pouvant faire des petites choses comme juste prendre une demi-heure de lunch avec mon épouse qui télétravaille, ce qu'on venait jamais à bout de faire avant. Ça fait qu'il y a eu des choses qui ont changé pour le mieux. Il y a des choses qui sont un petit peu plus difficiles à faire à distance, c'est certain, l'interréaction, le temps de réponse direct entre appeler quelqu'un ou lui parler dans l'espace de travail à côté, c'est sûr. Mais je pense qu'on est très résilient, comme il a été dit avant, qu'on est très créatif et qu'on est capable de naviguer facilement au travers de tout ça, comme on l'a démontré à date, en ayant les bons outils, puis en étant bien supporté par notre gestion aussi, ce qui va être très important pour ceux qui vont rester à la maison pour une période plus prolongée.
Well, look, thanks very much, all three of you, for all the work you're doing in the first place. I think this is obviously of critical importance to the literal health and the metaphorical health of our organization. And so thank you so much for all you're doing. And thank you for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure to get a chance to chat and see you all virtually. And I'll look forward to seeing you all in person at some point. And we can chat at that point. So all the best. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Merci.
Thank
you. Bonne soirée.
Bonne soirée.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us for future episodes of The GAC Files, a podcast about the people, issues, and ideas driving Global Affairs Canada. Don't forget to join the conversation online using hashtag GACFiles.
Merci d'avoir écouté le balado et nous espérons que vous vous joindrez à nous pour les épisodes futurs des dossiers d'AMC. Un balado sur les gens, les enjeux et les idées qui animent Affaires mondiales Canada. N'oubliez pas de vous joindre à la conversation en ligne en utilisant le hashtag dossier d'AMC.
If you have any feedback or suggestions for future topics or guests, please send us an email at extott-ldce@international.gc.ca.
Si vous avez des commentaires ou des suggestions concernant des sujets futurs ou des nouveaux invités, vous pouvez communiquer avec nous par courriel à l'adresse extott-ldce@commercialinternational.gc.ca.